podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello there, welcome to this Ibrox for your Sunday night. My name is Scott Patterson. If you're joining us on this week's Sunday session, you are very welcome. If you're following across social media, we thank you for doing that. As the night passes, I'll let you know where we are and how you can get us speaking tonight about a really impressive win for Rangers in the capital today. Reece, hi Reece, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, thanks Scott. All the better with a good Sunday win at Edinburgh, so into the last four and we'll take that.
Yes, absolutely. And Tommy joins us again. Hi, Tommy. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, always good. Always nice to come off the back of victory and make a pod appearance. So, yeah, I'm going to slowly believe that I'm a good luck charm.
That's exactly it. Goodness me. Reece, I'm going to stick with you and we'll get straight into it because there are quite a bit, or there is rather quite a bit to discuss from the match this afternoon. I think the main headline that I took away from all the bluster as you're late in the game starting, etc., was he actually started the same 11 that started in Lisbon Thursday night. Was that a little bit of a surprise for you? Is it showing quite a decent amount of respect to the Scottish Cup?
So I think it does probably a bit of both, Scott. I think it's partly out of necessity and out of choice for him. Because, you know, especially with what we came on to see later in the game, that we don't have a great depth of options to pick from, so it might just be out of necessity. And the players have performed well, they're performing at a high level, and Clement says he's one game at a time, next game. All cups are the exact same meaning to him. It doesn't matter whether it's the League Cup or the Europa League, he doesn't work like that. So I think it purely was that he's got to pick his best team, and at the moment we don't have a great deal of rotation with it, so his best team might have to stay the same for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Tommy, I mean, taking into account the Thursday performance, which was huge from start to finish, you looked at guys like John Lundstrom, Diamandé, an hour in, burst, looked like the legs had gone by all accounts. I almost expected one of them to be starting or involved at some point from the bench today as opposed to starting.
Yeah, listen, I think everybody will be looking at the selection and going, particularly with Sterling. You're thinking, another hamstring, you know, could we have mixed up? Could Clement have done something slightly different? I'm sure somebody out there is just bashing their laptop or their keys just with the word cryo chamber over and over again. But yeah, I mean, I think he would have wanted to. I think momentum probably, to Reece's point, dictated that he wanted to. And it also showcases with the sharp end coming with being in every tournament and having a lot of challenge and a lot of games coming thick and fast, that, you know, there's not a lot of depth now, given the amount of injuries we've had, particularly in the forward areas. I mean, there you've got Sterling playing right wing essentially tonight as well, and he pulls up. So I think it's probably not exactly where Philippe Clement would have wanted to be, and people could challenge it. I think he maybe just wanted to get the game won, get another, you know, another progression in a tournament and then point to it. But yeah, nobody wanted another injury, and unfortunately it looks like we've got one.
Yeah, absolutely. Cubby, who watches us regularly, some tired legs tonight as the game progressed, but we showed our professionalism to manage the game over the 90 minutes and a massive win again and into the semis. I think the draw for the semi-finals is made tomorrow post-mortem.
I'm not entirely sure if the start of that from Cubby was talking about the players or us. I'm certainly feeling it's been a long weekend.
I'm always quite wary of going to Easter Road, Reece. It's just somewhere I never particularly enjoy going. I think mainly one of the main reasons is that you always know that when you go to these places, their fans and their attitude is going to be right up and at them towards us. And one of the things I said to you before we came on, we had loads of chances today. One of the things I think we are seeing that I really, really like, and this speaks to the sort of little wager that you and I have got on between now and the end of the season, Fabio Silva looks really handy coming in from the left as opposed to playing up front as well.
Yeah, he does. I think he's, as I've said a few times, I don't think players are positions. I think they've got qualities that suit them to certain positions on the park. So when you've got a ball carrier who can beat a man 1v1. He's good in intricate spaces, and he's good on his right foot, and that suits Fabio Silva coming off the left, and I think we're beginning to see that now. And I'm sure that wager was only in the Scottish Cup, Scott, remember? No?
Are they telling you that already, are they?
No, but as all joking aside, it is great to see us creating so many chances, having a go at teams where you might expect them to make it difficult for you if they do sit back and they park the bus, so to speak, that we find new ways of dealing with it. The players are brave enough on the ball to take the ball in tight areas, knowing that if they make a mistake, they're not going to be lambasted for it. And I think that probably speaks to a bit more of the harmony with the fans, a new manager coming in who's evidently saying that to them and allowing them to make these mistakes and be brave in the ball.
Yeah. Tommy Silva has our first chance of the game 7 minutes in. And, you know, we went for a long time where we almost haven't seen that long Conor Goldson diagonal. We did see it at Motherwell when Silva had a really good chance, didn't take it. And there was something really similar, sort of opening, sort of 7 minutes, as I say today. He probably really should score. But I think you're seeing shoots of, and I think you're seeing an area now where we've got, he can play on the left side, as opposed to maybe this sort of tinkering that we've heard about the last sort of week, 2 weeks or so, where maybe through choice, the gaffers had to move things around. But I think seeing him coming off the left-hand side is certainly better than trying to use him as a number nine in that figurehead, if you like, up top.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in his career that backs out that he's currently in a between the sticks number nine, so to speak. I mean, he could probably get there in time. But yeah, coming off the left, giving Seema a break as well, or a challenge, I should say, playing slightly deeper. I think we're starting to see more and more Fabio Silva, and we'll obviously come to later in the match where he scores and stuff like that. But certainly, I think we're starting to see better runs from him. He's able to drag players out of position in the fullback area and generally the centre back that's on his side as well. He's certainly got a decent work ethic. I don't think he's going to again be somebody who's, you know, naturally in the box sniffing out chances and stuff like that. A number nine. God knows we could probably do with one. But if we're getting players like Silva and then you get Seema back, you know, et cetera, then anything that helps us in the forward areas is going to be absolutely key in this running. And when I say running, I mean running for Scottish Cup, for Europa League, for the title and stuff like that, because we're in amongst all of it and everybody's going to have to have a part to play. To your point about Goldson, yeah, I like it when Goldson steps forward and plays those balls. They're a great weapon for us. It's just having somebody, you know, get on the end of it. But anybody who can do something up top for us is going to be the absolute key area, because we're on the bones.
Yeah, no, absolutely. His striking buddy perhaps has his standard one of a few chances that he misses in the first half. And this isn't it's not an easy chance by any matter. I mean, Ridvan on the left, I think it was Ridvan on the left-hand side, and he knocks it in. Dessers finds himself maybe a little wide of the near post and tries to take it on the volley to put it towards David Marshall. It does go wide. 5 minutes later, Hibbs really sort of scared us a little bit. Jack Butland celebrating his birthday almost gave away a present that he probably never expected today. Maizani, I've maybe butchered that, I apologise if I have, chases Butland down, falling back from Conor Goldson, and just gets a toe in. I think it bounces off the post and goes wide, and it's the first time you're taking a big, sharp intake of breath, Reece, and you're thinking, Jack Butland, what are you doing here, for goodness sake?
I know. Do you know, there's been a few, I think the ball he got back the way at Kelly. Was it Diomande that played it? Diomande plays the kind of half volley back to him at Kelly. There was Lundstrom had one later on in the match. There's been a few now where I think the last few weeks it's almost like you're all centre mids trying to get Butland injured or something. What's going on here? Because there's been a few times he's nearly been clattered on them. But with Butland, I think he has his flaws. His distribution's not great. I don't think that's any surprise or great shock to say that. But for the amount of holes that he pulls this team out, the amount of points that he saves us on his own, you need to take the flaws with the positives as well. And I think that he's overwhelmingly a great asset for this team rather than the flaws. And wee moments like that, you just be grateful that they don't hurt you. And for me anyway, personally, I prefer not to challenge Jack Butland on issues like that. Just let him do it.
Tommy, listen, as we edge towards April and May, one of the things we openly discuss, particularly in programmes like this, we speak about sort of players of the year. It's been a very long time that I think you could maybe properly consider the goalkeeper as player of the year. The year 55, McGregor had a cracking season, but he was one of many, and I don't think you would have considered him as player of the year. But Butland is right in that conversation at the moment, that he's been our best player this season for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's been consistently fantastic, and I think most people see him as the standout, you know, purchase in the summer.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So I know he's a free transfer, but you know what I mean. Yeah, he's definitely in that conversation. I also like the fact that he's obviously got a bit of luck with him as well, because it gets trapped between his feet and then it comes off the post, and then when the striker goes in. So maybe other keepers that rolls in. But listen, these things happen. No keeper's infallible. Yeah. No keeper's invincible. It gets just trapped. I think there's a wee bobble on the pitch as well, not to, you know, get him out of jail there, but it gets a wee bit bobbly. And then it runs on a wee bit, and he gets a wee bit panicky, because when you get up close to goalkeepers, no matter who they are, they get panicky. So, yeah, but doesn't go in. So, yeah, you put that in the bank, forget all about it. Next time, put your foot through it.
Tommy, I'll stick with you, because Dessers has another chance shortly after. Butland has that sort of moment with the post, and he has a mazy run that was not a million miles away from the goal he scored against Betis. And you think... He's gone straight in, he's bound to score. John Walker, who is, of course, a member of the podcast, clocks that he does the things that you don't expect him to do so well, and the things you expect him to do almost naturally as a number nine. He occasionally sort of falters a little bit. He really has to score and put us one up, doesn't he?
There's probably a less polite way of saying what John's said there and what you've said, but I'll stick with the Sunday Mother's Day polite kind of parade here. Yeah, I think he kind of out-muscles defender left touchline, and bounce off him, bounce off defender, gets back into him, and he kind of powers away and all that. It's a lovely wee kind of chop back where he gets inside the box and he leaves the defender lying on the ground, and then there's not a lot of finesse to the finish, and the keeper saves it. And again, I think that speaks exactly to what you're talking about, which is he can do some really nice things, and he has some good finishes, but you're never overtly completely confident that Cyril Dessers is going to finish any particular chance. And when he gets into those great positions, I like his resilience, because he keeps coming back to the well, right? Fantastic. Every player needs that. But he does miss a lot of chances, even the ones that he self-makes, like that one, because there's nobody there to help him. He does muscle it. He chases it down, muscles it in, gets into the box, chops back, creates the chance, but it just doesn't seem to have that level of finesse and quality where you go, right, there you go. Or it's once in a blue moon when he gets it. And that's why he remains for me. And I hope he bangs in the goals that lead us to the title.
Yeah.
But I would still be relatively happy sold in the summer.
Do you know that way? I'm kind of like that as well. I almost wonder if, I just wonder if he is lucky enough to sort of bang in another couple of goals and get us to the end of the season and potentially a Scottish Cup win and a league win. I just wonder if people's attitudes, for want of a better term or expression, maybe changes a little bit. Reese, you and I are the wager, blah, blah, blah. And I know where you stand on Dessers, and I think I know where much of the support is. If he does get to 20-odd goals this season, you couldn't deny that he would be part of the process to getting us to win another couple of trophies between now and the end of May.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I think any player that does that will have a big part to play in whatever success we have this season. And Dessers, everybody's behind him. Everybody wants the guy to do well. You can tell that he's hard-working. As Tommy says, he continuously puts the effort in, and he doesn't seem to let it get to him. But that's possibly part of the issue as well. And that he seems so sound in mind that the next chance will come, that he's not too obsessed about scoring the first one he gets. I don't know how much that might hinder him, but yeah, I think he will be a big part from now to the end of the season, whether we like it or not. As Tommy says, I think come the summer it could be a different picture. And I think the best part that probably epitomises it was Do you remember in January there was rumours about interest in him? And you automatically had that conflict of, yes, sell him. Hold on, leave nobody. So,
only some of us had that conflict, Rhys. Don't think everybody had that conflict, to be honest with you. I was sitting with the engine running, ready to go to Glasgow Airport. So.
But, I think he's doing well, relatively. The numbers are hard to argue with now, and it's just getting to the point where you sort of need to back him. I think any player that plays for Rangers, you're going to back. So from now to the end of the season, we don't really have a choice in the matter that we're going to back him. Hopefully he does well, and come the summer, we'll see where the land lies at that point.
Yeah, absolutely, Rhys. I'm going to stick with you because on 21 minutes, Rangers were given the opportunity to go one up. Jordan Ibiza, Hibs left-back, collides with Big Dujon. As he was sort of beasting in on David Marshall and the Hibs goal, collision of legs. And I think the main headline was that everyone on the Viaplay Sports panel felt it was a penalty, including someone who I suspect may be the new Aberdeen manager, but Michael Stewart didn't. Rhys, penalty for you?
No brainer. I think it's clever from Sterling. He knows to get his body across him to the point where Obita's basically asking him for a piggyback. He's got an arm round him. He's just about got a leg over him. Any further, if Dujon Sterling stays on his feet, Obita's going to land on his back. Yeah. So he's clever enough to make that run. He almost kind of changes away from goal and he goes straight towards the byline, knowing that there's going to be a collision, which is probably clever because Sterling scored one professional goal in his career. So to say that if he takes that shot on, it's probably a worse chance than if we get a penalty. So it's no doubt for me a penalty. And I think Michael Stewart's probably just trying to be controversial for the sake of it.
Tommy, it's quite clear there are trophies to be won based on the debate on every whistle from a referee right now, is it not?
It's the most nauseating story in town. Unfortunately, it's where we are. But to Reese's point, to your point, I mean, there are clowns and then there's clown pro. And I think we know what version Michael Stewart might be there. I mean, to say, you know, I think a direct quote is, you know, Sterling feels the contact and goes down. So, okay, so there is contact. So it's contact from behind when you have no chance of getting the ball and the player's running in a goal with a clear goal, you know, goal-scoring opportunity. But that's still a controversial shout to say that that's a penalty. So, yeah, I mean, in with a big wooden spoon, just making stuff up. And it's boring, actually. It's just boring listening to that level of triteness and small-mindedness where you go, just be honest and open and say, listen, that there is contact there. And so, you know, if you phrase that differently, maybe he's made the most of it to win the penalty. Okay, whatever, right. But you can't say there's been contact. Sterling's felt it, went down, but it's definitely not a penalty. Okay, what type of contact was it then? Was it a wee soft kind of rub on the ribs, you know, see you later on type of scenario? Was it, you know, sticking some money in his back pocket? Just nonsense. And I take you back to it. Clowns, clown pro, we know which one he is.
Listen, the penalty that then ensued, as a poor one, Cubby jumps in and says it's a poor penalty by Tav. I felt it was a poor penalty. John Lundstrom, however, was there to save the day a little bit. I have to say, John Lundstrom is playing out of his skin just now, Tommy. And as we get to that stage where we talk about contract discussions and whether he should be signing a new one or not, I think it's hard to put an argument against letting him go on a Bosman at the end of the season based on current performances. He has been excellent since the gaffer came in.
Player finds form as contract runs out. You know, headline there somewhere. I'm sure his agent's happy. But no, listen, I'm with you. I think he's playing particularly well. I thought he was at the heart of everything tonight. Yeah. The good stuff in the middle, sitting in front of the back four. He's reading the game, was phenomenal. Some of the blocks and, you know, breaking up play as Aberdeen were breaking and stuff like that. It really showed the best of himself in that regard. Yeah, listen, I would give him a contract. As long as, obviously, it's the right price point for the club and for our finances. Philippe Clement is on record. You know, he really likes him as a leader on the pitch and thinks he's a really intelligent player in the squad. So I reckon Rangers and John Lundstrom will come to an agreement in relatively good time, and he'll remain a Rangers player into next season.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's someone who, I think he's someone that the team is actually formed around just now. And when we've got Todd Cantwell in there, I think there's elements of sort of play that obviously gets formed around him. But I just, the way that Lundstrom's playing now, I don't think he can justify not playing things around him. He's playing really, really well, and he's developed a really good relationship at the centre of the pitch with Diomande, which I think is really impressive. You guys just coming in, trying to sort of bed himself in perhaps in the first instance, but they look like they've played together for months and months, don't they?
Was interesting as well, just to kind of link back to earlier part of the conversation. You know, Philippe Clement was saying pre-match, if Ryan Jack hadn't picked up a knock, he was getting to the midfield today. So that would have maybe been a John Lundstrom or a Diomande getting a rest, or somebody, well, obviously somebody was getting a rest as well, you know, depending on who he would have replaced. But again, small injuries, catching up with players who, this is something that's, you know, under the kind of the bedrock of the squad to some extent, that there are players in there that Philippe Clement, the club, are going to have to take a position on come the end of the season. You know, Ryan Jack's a good player, I really like him. Can you rely on him for more than 10 games a season? Same as your Kamar, Roofs, etc. There's going to have to be a much more direct conversation with players and their agents around about, you can't be relied on to give something. So you either need to do one or two things. You've got to go somewhere else, or you've got to play that back into what you're going to get paid. Because, you know, you can't be, right, I can match up for 10 games a season and then I'm going to be in the treatment table, but I expect top dollar. Right, take that attitude somewhere else. I'm not saying, you know, Ryan Jack or Kamar Roof have that attitude. I'm just saying that's the ruthless attitude that the management team are preparing to have come the end of the season as they have conversations with players and their agents.
Reece, tell me where you are on Diomande that we brought in January then.
I think he's been brilliant, Scott. He's energetic. He's all about the place. I think he seems quite, not, I don't know that naive's the word, but he has that sort of purity that when a player comes from the academy, that he seems a wee bit fearless, and that he'll get into tight spaces knowing that he's not the most physical. He could take a bump, but he'll be there anyway, and he'll take the ball and he'll be brave with it. And I think he's been brilliant. I think that Lundstrom, coming back to your point there, Lundstrom's best as the single pivot in front of our defence. I think when we started Raskin at Motherwell with two there, Lundstrom was kind of on the right, Raskin was on the left. Seemed to shift him out of the groove a wee bit. He was out of that natural kind of position that he's been occupying the last few months. And to see him back in there, he does just dominate the game for you. I think he knows that his role in there is just to keep it nice and simple, sort of dictate play. He's good at it. And having Diomande in front of him, who's maybe got more legs, a bit more attacking capability, albeit Lundstrom scored today, which is quite good. But he's more of a flair player. He's more likely to break a line with a pass and play a striker through than what Lundstrom might be. So to have him there in front of Lundstrom, who's a solid base, serves the team well, and it starts that sort of engine in the midfield that you want to see for a Rangers team.
Yeah, and we saw Diomande, of course, who's got two goals in his locker so far since he came in. Kilmarnock and St Johnstone, I think, if memory serves me right. And he has the chance to do it again. And he's got that perfect little thing that I really enjoyed seeing when I was young and pretended I could play a bit. The Ian Durant sort of roll across the ball and then strike it with the opposite foot. He's absolutely got that right in his locker. I've been really impressed with Mo Diomande since he came in. So listen, we go in 1-0 up at half-time, looking, I would say, relatively comfortable. Hibs bar that opportunity with the post and Jack Butland in the first half. There wasn't really a lot happening. They, however, came out in the second half, Tommy, and had a cluster of corners in the second half. I think they had maybe four or five corners, and it was a combination of Butland and Lundstrom just sort of being called to react, for want of a better term or expression, and they were really needed at that point, because a goal at that point for Hibs maybe coming in the second half so early makes a very interesting next 40, 45 minutes or so, doesn't it?
It does look at me living really dangerously there, having a cup of tea whilst you're coming to the end of your question. That was just to keep everybody really on the edge of their seat. But best of luck for the people who are listening back to this on the audio only on Spotify or anything like that, right? But what the hell is he talking about, right? But and a nice and a very nice poppy mug as well. That's to be said. You see at the bottom. There you go. Anyway, back to the point in hand. No, listen, you're going to be under pressure at some points. And yeah, that's the back to the Butland and defence point. You know, we seem to be slightly more solid, or rather, yeah, there's a solidity about us in those types of moments, whereas we've done really stupid things at the back. You know,
yeah,
consistently a long ball down the middle has caught out our two centre-backs and ended up in a goal. But, you know, it's nice to see that we can stand up. I like Butland. He tries to come off his line when he can and stuff like that as well. So, yeah, I'm with you, though, in terms of you're wanting to make sure your opponent doesn't get back in early. We know what, you know, fans getting a bit of noise behind them, although it was absolutely dead from their side at Easter Road today. I mean, I don't know if they maybe had a misprint in the programme and said it was tomorrow night because the fans never turned up. And then we're sent home in the trams early. So tears on the trams tonight. But it's you're always going to be under pressure. We're not so good a side that we dominate every side. That's it. I think sometimes inherently Rangers' problem is maybe switching off against some of the lesser sides and then having that stupid moment with the ball down the middle. But yeah, I'm with it. Listen, we defended, and that's part of the game. That's part of the job, and we do it relatively well. I just want to call out as well, because I saw it in the comments there, Ofra Hill. I thought the young boy Hibbs Fish at the back as well did look pretty decent in that. He had a really nice moment for him in terms of when he was one-on-one with Silva. At one point in the second half, but we can put a hook in that, so to speak, for all day. But that was a fish pun. But actually, yeah, I'm off the boil tonight. Let me in a yellow, and we'll get to yellows that should be reds and reds that should be yellows in a minute, I think.
He's on loan for Man United, that boy, Fish, so he's obviously got decent pedigree about him.
It looked like he was calm. He was really calm on the ball. Nice return the pace, actually, to be serious, not to be glib. I thought he stood up to it quite well, and he kind of marshalled Silva at points relatively well. But I think he looks like a decent player, actually.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, there was two long-range efforts, one for us and one for them. Just on the around the hour mark, James Tavernier is a long-range effort that marshalled, turns around his left-hand side, and then Butland has to make a save from the Brentford on loan chap, Reese. I'm going to butcher this, so correct me if I'm wrong, Macondes. Is that right?
Correct, I think. Yeah, correct.
It's a good save. He pushed it around to his left-hand side. I think there was elements of maybe just making it look better than what it had to be, but it was a good save nonetheless. And at 1-0, you just want your keeper to be saving it.
In my notes, I'd just written man bun.
Yeah, it was a cracker, wasn't it?
That's what I'd just written, man. And that saves me having to pronounce his name.
I'm glad I'm
dead. Yeah, good man bun, Scott.
I don't know, Reese. I don't know the answer to that, and I'm going to not answer it.
Dado Bosso, maybe? Is that a man bun?
I don't know, actually.
Dado Bosso is gone.
He can do what he wants. Listen, enough of the tomfoolery. Two red cards in the space of 5 minutes for Hibs. Abita with something really. You know what? Abita developed about a sort of class clown sort of attitude, particularly second half. McCausland goes off injured, our second injury of the afternoon, and Abita's kind of ushering him off, which I felt was a wee bit unnecessary, frankly. It got the sort of Hibs fans up and gave them something to be excited about, because they had nothing to be excited about at that stage. And then Matondo, who comes on, Abita gets involved with him straight away. Listen, I'll be honest with you, I think it's soft, but he probably gives the referee a decision to make, to be perfectly frank. I think Reese, can I admit if I'm wrong, it's his second yellow of the afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a second yellow, I think. It's probably clever from Matondo in that he's felt the contact, he's made the most of it, and Hibs are down to 10. I think the simple thing to be is if it's soft or if it's hard, then just don't do it. It's unnecessary. I think that he's had his arm across him to try and prevent him running, and then almost swung it again or swung the other arm. I can't quite remember, but he's had a second go at it to the point where you're going, it's just so petulant and needless that you've written your own story there, to coin a phrase that I think has been quite popular in the media recently.
Do you know what? I will stick with you, though, because we shouldn't walk past. We're going to come to squad management before we finish tonight, and we shouldn't walk past the fact that Ravi Matondo is fit and available for squads again, Reece, based on what we know. Dujon Stirling being thrown in at right wing, being taken off injured today. McCausland, who came on for him, coming off injured today. We know that Cole McKinnon, who we'll come to shortly, I see that his name's flashing up in the comments back and forward. We know that ultimately he's a sort of centre midfielder type player. Having Matondo back, good old fashioned winger. That's good. Going out in the next cluster of games, isn't it?
Yeah, it is if he performs at probably the peak of his powers. I don't think he has done for most of his Rangers career. He's had flashes, don't get me wrong. He hit the goal shortly before he got injured again. And it's moments like that you want to start to see from Matondo. And along with the rest of the squad, he's probably not had as much minutes under Clement as we would like to see him. So he probably will develop like the rest of the squad has, take his level up a few notches, and we could end up with a really good player. But as it stands, I'm yet to be convinced on Matondo, and I think the jury's still out.
Yeah, I think CGM is kind of in the same place as you. McCausland, I didn't think McCausland played that great when he came on. Do you know what we're seeing? Classic sort of guys that are wingers, they're classic wingers, so they'll have a good sort of period where they look really at it, and then they'll have a couple of games where, do you know what I mean, a shoulder doesn't work, or it just doesn't blend for them properly, and confidence goes, game time goes. I think we're seeing that with Ross McCausland, and CGM didn't think Matondo was much better when he came on. Tommy, second red card of the afternoon. So when I saw this, I have to say, I thought it was a shocking tackle. I thought the contact with Lundstrom was probably worse than what it was. I think he does touch him, to be perfectly honest with you. Out of control, both legs in the air. In no way can it not be a red, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, is the sharp answer. And to the previous one as well, yes, it is a second yellow. That's why it doesn't go to VAR.
Yeah.
It's a second yellow instead of a straight red. But yeah, it's not so much the contact, as you say. And it does look worse contact-wise on first showing. But even when it's slowed down, you see the different angle. It's the fact that he is relatively out of control, two feet are up. He's going in for it. If he does catch John Lundstrom on the... And this is a part that people sometimes forget. You know, if he is to make contact, he's out of control and he would seriously endanger a fellow player. And that's what drives the referee's thought process of, right, that's a red. It doesn't always have to be, right, you've absolutely destroyed the guy and you've put him in a stretcher. That's the whole point, is to not get to that stage. He's out of control. He's went in. At that point, Hibs' discipline was already starting to waver, because they'd had the previous one, everybody was in a bad mood, some tackles were getting in, they were trying to be physical, etc. And they were just getting a little bit nasty because they had to default to that, because they knew they weren't going to win the game. You know, Rangers had kind of done enough by that point. And so he is going in there to make a statement challenge. He's got it wrong, and he's absolutely got the right outcome from the referee and VAR, because obviously straight red, it goes to VAR, they have a look at it as well. So everybody's against Michael Stewart in this country, obviously. Straight red. No two questions about it. That's done. Shouldn't be a conversation out with of the fact that at least the referee and the VAR team got it right.
Rhys, same for you. Any debate on that second red card this afternoon?
To be honest with you, Tommy's convinced me at that point. Because until Tommy made the point of, we don't want it to get to the point where folk are being injured and stretchers before we brandish red cards, until that point, for me, I would have said that's not a red card.
Right, okay.
If I was the referee that match, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have given it as a red. I'd have given it a yellow and told him to stop being an idiot. Mm-hmm. Like, as in, stop taking a running jump at players. But
never playing in a game that you ref. I'll tell you that. I'm never playing in a game that you ref.
I'm always of the opinion, if you're getting sent off, make it worthwhile. But
it's interesting you say that, because I think it was Kieran... From the podcast, popped something into the chat earlier on, and it almost ticks too many boxes for not to be a red. Sort of,
yeah,
two legs off the ground, reckless, and I think there was contact. As I say, whether there was loads of contact or not, I think is up for debate, to be perfectly frank. But it's a really poor tackle for me, and I can absolutely see why it was given as a straight red. And I think at that moment in time, Tommy's kind of suggested it, Hibs' shackles were up because we were just beginning to turn the screw a little bit. And I think at that point, you kind of understand that Hibs aren't getting back in the game. If there's going to be a second goal in the afternoon, it's going to come to us. And the boy just loses the head. Paul McGarrigle, I think, certainly nails it as well. It was the intent. You could see that ultimately he was trying to nail Lundstrom. Lundstrom had ran the game at that point, and I think he was just trying to leave a bit of a mark on the match and probably Lundstrom's leg, to be honest with you. But Rhys, you're saying that it's not a red, or it wasn't a red until Thomas
I think,
figured it
out. I think, to be honest, I can see why it's given as a red. As you say, it ticks all the boxes for it. It's reckless. It's stupid beyond reckless, to be honest with you. He's taking a running jump at it. The intent's there. 2 feet off the ground. I get why it's a red card in all the boxes. It's just the
you
contact.
You just talked yourself about it being a red card, Reece.
When I watch it, without the rule book in one eye and watching it in the other, if I was just to be watching that without the rule book beside me, I would probably have hesitated to give it as a red card, but I can totally see why it is. And I think that once it goes to VAR, it's double checked. Everybody's in agreement that it's a red card. So, aye, no doubt it has to be by the laws of the game.
That is the most surprising statement I have heard all evening that you didn't think. But I'm glad I've swayed you around, then, Reece. I've done my job.
By the laws of the game, it is, but I don't like laws.
I'm just wondering with your contacts if there's any chance you can get Reece to referee a game between you and maybe the weekend. I'd love to go and check that out.
One involving our rivals, yeah, definitely, because there's going to be injuries everywhere. I think the best pick up like.
Listen, second goal in the afternoon came on the 82nd minute. Again, John Lundstrom with a really, really nice sort of slip in to Fabio Silva, who does a wee twist and a turn, comes inside on his right-hand side and fires it beyond David Marshall for us to go 2-0. Reece, it's his fourth of the season, as I'm sure you know, because you're counting. And it's... you know, I actually think Silva deserved that today. I thought he played really well for Rangers today. I would argue... maybe his best performance in a Rangers jersey. I thought it was really impressive.
Yeah, it was. It's a great wee bit of movement. I think it might actually be the boy Fish that plays him onside. He's just in line with the defender, and you've almost got to see it for that second angle to be certain. But as soon as he's played through, cuts back onto his right, and he's savvy enough to know that he's going to go near post rather than far post, puts it back across the keeper, and it's a great finish. It's just to have that sharpness and that quick thinking and that I'm going to cut in here and I'm not going to do it the conventional way and put it in the far corner. I'm going to go that way. It's clinical. It probably shows you the level he's been at and how intelligent a football player he is and how well-versed he is in attacking play, that he can make those runs and just the drop of a hat. Because I don't think it's out of a shock to say that the moment hadn't been coming. We didn't look like we were constantly pushing down on the gas, that we were constantly putting Hibs under pressure with a few chances. But then it just takes that one wee pass, that one chop in, that incisive finish that really showed the quality level, and it's a good asset for the team to have.
Tommy, Pete makes a really good point. Great to see Silva's confidence getting higher each game. Now, I do wonder how that lad's confidence is, do you know what I mean, moves across here, huge sum of money, and he can't dictate that, of course, but doesn't really get a look into the club that have signed him, comes up here, maybe doesn't see it as a great move for his career, come up to play in Scotland, but it's quite clear that over the last couple of weeks, he's beginning to engage a little bit more, I think, with Clement's sort of ideas and what he wants from him. I think the last couple of games, I think we can be quite pleased with what we're getting from him.
Yeah, we're starting to see more and more from him, and that's a great news story as we head into the business end of the season and stuff like that as well. Interesting listening to you both, and you know, interesting the listeners' thoughts as well. You're talking about a forward player who gets into a good position, chops inside and actually finishes. Pretty sure we were having a very similar conversation about the number 9 earlier on. Who didn't manage to finish, and it's just that level of quality, confidence, finesse that gets those goals. And listen, I want everybody to score, and I want Cyril Dessers to have a great season as well, and all that. But if we're getting more goals from the likes of Silva, I'm with you, Scott. I thought he had a really good game, in moments, But he certainly looks as though more and more of his game and more of his movement, and his movement's really intelligent, is starting to come to the fore. And if the rest of the team are going with that as well, it means we are giving opposition back fours, back fives, back eights sometimes, I suppose, we play against, more and more hassle as they get dragged out of position, which leaves space for other people to get in. Yeah, he's a good player. I think we'll see more from him before now and the end of the season.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. The thing that I like that we're seeing, I think it would be easy maybe for him to come up here and not down tools, but come up and just get the game time, go through the motions. But you almost think that he's came up here and he realises that, oh, I'm potentially going to be able to take some winners' medals back down the road here. So that's the reason that you would imagine all these guys are doing it, to sort of retire with a cupboard full of medals. I think it's a really good chance to take a couple away down the road this year. Reese, I want to speak to you a very little while about squad management. We're obviously at a really difficult part of the season just now. Big games to come. And we've got a national break to come as well. I want to speak to you about John Lundstrom, Silva and Cole McKinnon. We'll start with the latter. I know you have, you've spoke to Cole at some of the B-team games. He has fared really well in the last two games. Came on against Benfica, great block right to death. Who knows how important that could be. We'll know, of course, on Thursday night. And again, came on today. And I thought fared really quite well for a young guy who is really just trying to get in the swing of things.
Definitely. I think it's quite good to see how well he's adapted to the level. And in the B-team games, he was never top goal scorer. He was never captain of the B-team. He was never sort of a standout player. But to have that ability, make the step up, adapt relatively well, not look out of place, and just do everything you do to a good standard, is credit to them. Because I think that takes a fair bit of bravery, confidence and self-belief. That I think Cole McKinnon's one of these players that, see, for all that he might be lacking flair, he's going to make up for you in hard work and intensity. And coming into a first team environment, if you don't have that hard work and that intensity and a bit about you, it's quite easy to go back into your shell and end up in the B team and never make the first team and end up at a different club further down the leagues. You've seen it with hundreds of players that if you can't make that step up and you do look out of place, it doesn't really work for you. So the fact that he's done that, to do it in Europe, to do it against Hibs today, it's testament to how well he's kind of developed over the last few months, because I don't think it would be out of place to say that he's maybe not one of the first players in the B team that a lot of people were talking about. And to have that ability to step up out of relative darkness and into the first team, that it's a great thing to see.
Tommy, John makes a really good point. Good to see Clement willing to go with youngsters. Gives hopes to the others to get a start. We know about Leon King, who's been in and out over the last couple of years and probably still recovering from the Champions League matches, I think, to be perfectly honest with you, because he hasn't had a look in. Devine is, of course, out on loan and doing okay by all accounts. We now have McCausland, who Clement clearly trusts and likes, maybe appreciates his work effort and rates him. I do wonder if Cole McKinnon could be the next one to just be given that chance. And I totally believe that you never actually know how good these guys are until they pull on the jersey and cross the white line. We're seeing with Cole McKinnon that if you have the opportunity to take it, and you do take it, then you'll get your chance.
Definitely. And listen, some of this is driven by the position the squad finds itself in. So Philippe Clement, you know, needs to turn to the youth to some extent. I don't think that's a naturally uncomfortable thing for him. You know, he's played youth at, you know, Bruges and Monaco and stuff like that as well. You know, he's fully in for that type of thing. He's not one of these managers who, you know, only plays veterans, so to speak. He'll happily go with the players. To your point, Scott, and it's the last part that's the really important part for everybody, which is it's fine getting your chance. You know, most people may or may not know that there's a clear dividing line within the training centre, right? Which is first team and then the B team, etc., and all that type of stuff. You have to be invited, physically invited, to come through into the first team area, the side of the building. You know, and there's a whole transition there to say, right, it is a step up. You've got to take it seriously. That's the part that's really important, because Scottish football in general, is littered with guys who had tons of talent, got their shot, bought the Range Rover, disappeared, right? Yeah. And that's where all these players need to remind themselves and are reminded within the club of stay humble, work really hard, try and fight for the jersey. Don't think you've made it just because you've had an appearance for Rangers first team or you've made a couple of sub appearances. So if they can keep doing that, then they've got every chance to make themselves, you know, part of the first team squad for next season as well. And that's where you start to grow it. And if we can, as a club, start to point to more and more of our squad having been homegrown or brought through our own academy, that's great for a numerous amount of factors that I'm not going to bore you with because they're all aware of it, which is great to see your own. It's great to have more Scottish guys in there. I'm not insular, but it's just always nice to have Scottish guys in there. It's good for the value if they break into the national team. It's good for the value entire because we can cash in on them at a later point. All of that's incredibly positive. So, yeah. Management are really backing it. Club are really backing it. Players just need to stay humble and work really, really hard and grab their chance as well. And as fans, we need to remind ourselves sometimes that they are young players. They are going to have absolute shockers. Right? That's part and parcel of living the game and learning. And if these players are getting their chance, not at a lower team or farmed out, they're getting it in the first team because that's where we are right now, then just remember that not every bad moment has to be met with, you know, vitriol or booing or anything like that. They are still finding their way in the game, and that's where we should support them as much as we possibly can.
No, absolutely. I completely agree. I've been impressed with McCausland in the first instance. I think he's looked really quite good. He is going through a dip in form just now. I don't think there's any denying that. But I've been equally as impressed with Cole McKinnon, and we've not seen him in the position I think we know he's meant to be playing. We've not seen him playing in that centre mid role, which takes me on to my next point with big games to come, Reece. With Thursday in mind, probably in the first instance, we, based on what happened last week, and we were sort of absolutely right in the tie, and we're going to Dublin, it has to be the strongest team on Thursday, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think as fans, we almost need to just adopt that Philippe Clement mindset. As much as the Terraces will sing about May and what may or may not come then, I think I have far too much scar tissue to let myself do that at the minute. But you just have to take that blinkered approach of there's nothing beyond Thursday. Thursday is the last game we'll play. Absolutely. And that we do go out with our strongest team. It's probably why we were unrotated tonight, as I said. Coming into Thursday, it's got to be our strongest team. And if we get certain players back, like Ryan Jack, we don't know about his knock. If Cantwell's back, if Seema's been back training, then you do start to sort of strengthen that squad. And you've just got to take all fronts as equal at the minute. In Europa League, Premiership, Scottish Cup, just go and win the game. Go out to try and win the game. Anything less at this point, and especially at this club, would be unfit for the club. The club seeks to win everything we go into and every game we get into. So yeah. To go, do you know what? We've got a big game at the weekend. We'll maybe rotate a wee bit during the week. That's not Rangers. Rangers are good in Europe. We've been successful in Europe before and we want to try and do that. So, yeah, it's got to be strongest possible team come Thursday for me.
Tommy, I know you're in the gantry for This Is Ibrox on Thursday night with regards to rotation. Maybe the same question to you: is there anything that you see he may want to do to ultimately win the game? I mean, I don't see him resting almost any of the guys that started today. To be perfectly frank, I wouldn't be surprised if we go to the same 11.
Well, before I get to that, to King Charles Spaniel, great name that, by the way. I'm aware that McCausland isn't Scottish. I tend to say just to lump them all in when I think about the younger players coming through, but it's a fair challenge nonetheless. In terms of the squad rotation, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think there'll be anything yet. So I think it's myself and I think it's Kyle. It's Kyle that I'm with in terms of Thursday and the gantry freezing my backside off. I imagine it'll be a cold night. But yeah, I don't think there's anything that he can do about that. And by that, I mean Philippe Clement. It's hell for leather over these three games, starting with today. And then we've got Benfica and then we've got Dundee. Get to the international break. You know, there's another injury, obviously, with Sterling. That will be being assessed. Can he go again? Or is he, you know, out of contention? But it's just, I figured that Philippe Clement has sat down with the squad, spoken to them, looked at the analysis and went, right, we've got this three-game bracket. just go hell for leather through this three-game bracket, come try and come out with three wins, or you know, a progression or whatever. And then we'll see what it's like come the international break, and we'll try and patch people up, and we'll try and, you know, give them special coffees and stuff like that that the Rangers are famous for, and we'll get them back into the scenario. And that's where we are. Again, it's a case of, yeah, you'd love to be squad rotation. I don't think our squad's deep enough, particularly not with injuries that we've got. And Philippe Clement wants to keep the momentum going. Keep winning, guys. Keep winning. Keep putting the pressure on. Keep progressing. Keep everybody in alignment. And so he's going to try and drive everybody as hard as they can, knowing fine well if you can get to the end of the season and you've won stuff, those wee tweaks and injuries don't feel half as bad as you're lying on the beach with your winner's medal and stuff like that, and then you get to go again next season. So, yeah, I think that's the mentality that's in the dressing room and in the manager's office right now.
David P gives us quite a nice message to finish on. 2 games left to win the Scottish Cup, 9 to win the league, 6 to win the Europa. And when you do break it down like that, it is indeed quite simple. It's hard not to disagree with that. Listen, before I sort of say my goodnights to you all, I do want to finish on a note on Martin Boyle, who took a really serious injury today at the football, by all accounts. So we do wish him well. It looked like a really, really sore one he took this afternoon. So hopefully he's well and recovering. Reese, good to have you on tonight. I appreciate your time. Thanks, pal.
Cheers, Scott. Always a pleasure.
Indeed. Tommy, always good to have you on, buddy. Well done.
Great. Always good to have the back of a win as well.
Yeah, listen, it absolutely is. More of them between now and the international break would be really nice. So listen, if you're not following us across social media, you should be. We are on Twitter and Facebook, Instagram. We've got a couple of accounts on our Twitter, actually. We've got the Rangers women's team and the B team. Follow us on there if you can. If you're watching us on our YouTube channel tonight, please hit the notification bell so you do get a notification each time we release something live, which we do, of course, a couple of times each week. On Wednesday, Ross is hosting Jamie and Andrew. And on Thursday, Tommy is in the gantry with Kyle, we think it is. Tommy, is that fair? Yeah.
I think so, yes. I'll be too cold to recognise who it is I'm sitting next to at that point. So, yeah, could be anybody. It's Kyle.
We look forward to that. Of course, the Gantry pod, which will go out post-match on Thursday. We should add as well, on Thursday, if you are still waiting at home at 6 o'clock, 7:30, you are too late. Early kick-off on Thursday. Do not forget. Check out the guys on Wednesday and Tommy and Ian Other in the gantry on Thursday. Thanks for watching for now. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.